Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants, price may vary.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider, and also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
Welcome to Four-Sided Dive, Critical Role's monthly talk show featuring a roundtable discussion about the events and characters of our current campaign, alongside a heavy helping of hijinks. Four-Sided Dive airs the first Tuesday of every month at 7 p.m. Pacific on twitch.tv/Critical Role and youtube.com/Critical Role, with the VOD available on YouTube the very next day. And of course, each episode releases right here on the Critical Role Podcast Network 1 week after the initial broadcast. Let's dive into the chaos.
Ben, what did Susan Sarandon do to you?
Gonna be in my book, so I can't say it publicly yet. That comes out next year. My publisher will be very angry.
Autobiography?
Of Susan Sarandon?
Yeah.
Autobiography of Susan
Sarandon. How do you
want
to do this, the Matthew Mercer story?
Yeah.
How do you want to... choose this?
How do you want to live this life?
The Matt Mercer story.
Straightest nonfiction you'll ever read. There's nothing straight about it.
Yeah. Well, we got some dice.
Oh, yeah. Are we doing this?
I'm tired of listening to y'all, so I'm going to listen to y'all for another hour and a half.
Great.
Roll your dice.
Here we go.
I guess I'll take the blue ones, and that's what's left over.
And
go.
Oh.
It's lowest, right?
Oh!
It's lowest, right?
Highest?
No, it's highest.
It's highest? Shit.
Yes!
Shit.
You've done this before, right?
I know! That's why I didn't
want to
do it again.
We've all done this before.
We've all done this before. What is this for?
That's not how this works.
I don't know.
Okay.
Open glasses.
Ah, shit.
I can't even read it. It's so dark. Okay.
Oh, hello there. It is me, a person, and I'll be your 8th tavern keeper. And the first Critical Role cast member to host this fly-by-night fever dream of a talk show for a second time. And for this, I have earned a one-way ticket to Laudner's sad, sad dark dimension, as well as a cookie.
What is this choice?
I don't know.
It's a choice.
How I love the flavor of dread.
What is happening?
Laudner is back from the dead again. Let's see how long that lasts, Marisha. A joke, just like our existence in this indifferent universe. Taliesin Jaffe's current character, Ashton, got to argue with Taliesin Jaffe's old character, Percy, giving form to the internal strife between our old egos and the audacity of the now. Speaking of audacity,
I don't know.
Wish the grass has a soul. Because I guess souls are real in the meta-fantasy world. And finally, Matthew Mercer, the man who sells the strings to the puppet masters, he gave us Rodner back. But he took Archdaddy Eric's Estros from us in turn, a brutal illustration of how death can never be truly undone. So this is really all Marisha's fault, if you think about it.
Wait.
Oh, look, Goma. I would like to see the baby. I put the cookie down. No, I get it. Come here, baby. No.
Thanks, Omar. Welcome to Four-Sided Dive. Let's fucking do a show, I guess.
Yay!
Welcome back. Woo. Let's begin the night with our open discussion segment, referred to commonly, previously, and always as
the fuck is up with that?
What the fuck is up with that?
What indeed is,
fuck is up with that? Oh. Or something. it feels odd to be the person running this after dimming it. Beginning with our first topic of this segment for tonight's episode, the return of Vox Machina.
Oh man.
All the good characters.
Yeah.
All the good characters.
That's right. They were the best.
No, that felt good.
You got to be all of them. Most of Vox Machina was you.
There's no pressure.
Yeah.
See, the only ones you weren't was
Scanlan.
Grog.
Trinket.
Trinket was there.
Scanlan and Grog?
Is that it? Well, I guess so.
Well, Vax, technically.
May he reign? No, that's another guy.
Didn't you do a little
May he wing?
At some point, there was a little crow sound in the background. I don't know.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Too late. It's fine.
You were really good. Percy, in his older middle age, he's 30 years older now.
Yeah, he's 50s.
He's a bit of a dick.
He's a bitch.
He was always a bit of a dick.
Well, I know, but I don't know. I figured being married to Vex might loosen him up a little bit, or.
But also being in charge of the well-being of the entire city of Whitestone and the traumas that he went through in his life, the world ever growing with dangers and challenges at every turn, him being in charge of pretty much the only source of residuum, which is continuously trying to find its way in the hands of, you know, people of interest and often the wrong people.
And
there's a lot of reasons.
His weapons making their way around the world, killing.
Making their way.
That's right.
Murder their way.
Yeah, thank you. It's like too soon.
That's right. There it is.
He's gotten paranoid. I mean, he's chill. He knows how to chill out, but he's definitely very paranoid.
He did bring like 5 battalions worth of people to potentially murder Ladna.
Well, I mean,
but she was connected to Delilah. I mean, that feels right. If you've got 5 battalions, what else are you going
to
do with it?
Not that you didn't inhabit him perfectly, which you like. I was very impressed.
That's all I wanted, was to not make it.
Yeah, but you were Delilah.
But I've got some notes.
It was like you were Delilah.
Sure.
Yeah.
No. And still might be.
No. In his head, it was very much like we're not going to. If Vex and Pike hadn't have been so involved in this, Percy probably would have still just let you go.
Yeah.
Like with his trauma. Mm. It was delightful and stressful because I know that when you created some of these characters, specifically Orym and you, Ladna, I was like, these are tethers to campaign one characters. There's a chance, based on how the story goes, that I might have to play one of these characters, and I hope that doesn't happen for my own nerves, and probably later in the campaign, and then suddenly having to do the 4 of them, including Trinket.
But it makes sense that, like, with all the shit they went through, they'd be pretty paranoid about...
5 with Trinket.
About stuff, especially Delilah stuff.
Yeah.
And people attacking Whitestone and people infiltrating Whitestone, and yeah, it's a paranoid place.
Yeah,
I was paranoid about a lot of things.
Sure.
Paranoid about a lot of things.
Hey, that cane.
Yeah.
What the fuck is up with that?
I don't know if I should tell them. Should I? I don't know if they get to know.
It's a vestige.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah. To note, by the way, like when I realized we were going to Whitestone, we finished the episode with us going to the Sun Tree. I then emailed Taliesin on the side and was like, is there any specifics about Percy's like office, about where he is right now? I still wanted him to inform me about the specifics of that character, kind of like I talked to you a little bit about Keyleth and kind of her place and what, you know, their relationship is in the world now. So I want to make sure that you guys are still informing elements of these characters, but also having it be the fun mystery of really kind of finding out things beyond that. I know that there's been people, you know, in the community that have been like, they should have played their characters and they return and have Ladna return as Keyleth, or have Mercer return as Keyleth. And I'm like,
so confusing.
That would have been so deeply confusing. Yeah. And I also know that you guys were excited at the prospect of the mystery of not really knowing where they were going to be in the world, what they have going on.
Yeah, of all the people who claim that our show is scripted, that would be the most scripted.
I think the only way we could have done that is if I played all the other characters.
I can watch that next time.
But I mean, like, anything that might have come up, I got to give you the list of things that were important to me for this particular situation. Mm-hmm. And like, I know quietly on the side, some of us occasionally have the conversation of, what are we doing right now? Like, we've had a couple. Like, what are we up to?
I'm a little curious. You put a little
a
little stank on that conversation between Keyleth and Percy. Are they okay? Are they fighting? Or is it just because
she also seemed distracted, right? Like she had to get somewhere fast.
Yeah, she was like, not I'm in dealing the mood with chit-chat.
It was a little bit of column A, a little bit of column B. Like, they're okay, but also...
She was kind of like, okay, I'm gonna see you, bye.
Yeah, it was when you're friends for a long time, and you especially work on the scale that they do, you can agree a lot of the time and occasionally not agree.
You are such a fucking asshole, Matt.
I mean,
we y'all the right now.
We've talked about like what goes on between the two, the Keyleth and Percy. And I think a little bit of good cop, bad cop is not insane.
Yeah, no, for sure.
So yeah, since we have that interesting understanding with each other.
Yeah, I imagine we disagree.
I would hope
a lot. I would hope so.
It's a very he's not a good boy.
Are they having an affair?
No.
Keyleth and
I'm
Percy?
I'm just make that
gross.
Up.
Gross.
Yeah, no. It's awful.
Well, I'm just going to make that up.
Is that why there's some tension there?
We're going to have some fan fiction here soon.
No.
It's definitely written by you.
That's horrible. You're the worst.
Weird. I mean, they wouldn't be having an affair. Vex would totally be in on it. Let's be real.
That's true, yeah. If there was
she would have instigated, up, to be honest.
Yeah.
Like, I really feel like she would have been the instigator in that.
Uh-huh. Yes,
yeah, probably
that's
true. Not.
Neither of us would have started.
No, it was... Yeah, I remember with Keyleth, I'm sorry she didn't stick around longer, but also I didn't want to have to juggle that many characters,
knowing where
the story was going, and given just the nature of the narrative build towards the solstice, you know, knowing that because of the nature of her magic, her position, she has a lot going on. They all have a lot going on
and
right
the
now.
Longer she's in a scene, the higher the likelihood that she turns herself into a fish and dies.
I'm rolling the D100 like every 5 minutes. Just in case.
That's just a daily occurrence for her. She's brushing her teeth and just, ah, fuck.
We also are
that's probably some
it.
Trauma, to be fair.
That's true.
One tree?
Come on, buddy.
Come
we also
here.
Run into the challenge.
Oh, no, the GoPro is.
Poor GoPro footage is being beaten around. This is perfect.
Here we go.
We thought this was a good idea. Yeah.
Is this strap on anymore?
Ignore them. Yes, I'm listening.
Sure. It's all good.
They can fuck right off.
It's fine.
Good boy.
I was going to say, like, I've always wanted to run a campaign where previous player characters could recur down the road of history and, you know, occasionally make an appearance or involvement. It's been something I've always wanted to do. But the challenge then lies, too, you don't want the player characters of the current campaign to rely too much on the power levels of previous campaign characters. And so part of that challenge is, like, in certain circumstances, they might be able to help, but also you are very much small fries to what stuff they have going on right now, and I still want you guys to actively gain the victories that you want in the story as it goes.
Yeah.
Where it's good. It's always fun.
I love how you played everybody, I've got to say. I was quite pleased. I mean, even from a personal standpoint, I was definitely like, oh yeah, this is good.
Yeah.
That's all I wanted.
Pike was super cute.
Pike was so cute. Okay.
Vex was very nice.
Yeah.
Very worried.
Yeah. Very guilty feeling.
Yeah.
It was nice.
Yeah, she would have been a little more of a hard ass if she hadn't seen Ladna.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As soon as she realized that connection, it kind of like shook her a bit.
Mm-hmm.
So I never rolled high enough for Ladna to put the two and two together that I was like looking at my doppelganger.
Not in the moment, but you might have put it together in time, like after the fact.
I kind of like that you didn't. There was something about it that makes it worse, if that makes sense. It's just crueler on a weird level.
Sure.
To everyone involved.
To everyone, yeah.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. In a delightfully fucked up way. I got to see some of your family.
Oh, yeah. And, oh, and yeah. Thank you for, like, there's a bunch of stuff I gave you that you very subtly just fed in there that, like, nobody will catch other than me going,
yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah, just little hints.
Yeah,
little
kids
nods.
Are great.
What does that mean? Gwendolyn?
You don't know.
I mean, there's a bunch of stuff you don't know. I told you, like, that much just because I knew you would enjoy it.
Why are you like this?
You made me like this, let's be honest.
This is valid.
I was an open book before I met you.
Sure you were. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's a coaster right there.
Specifically.
Don't you respect wood?
There's a coaster connected. It's literally wood on wood, right? This is just this is just a wood sandwich now. That's all this is.
Heathens.
Now I can't stop thinking about it.
It's not a wood sandwich. It's two pieces of wood. You need to put something between the wood to make it a wood sandwich.
Well, that was
three pieces
table.
Of wood.
The table is.
No, you're right. No, you're right.
Wood.
No, you're right.
A piece of wood.
You're right. I needed to expand my periphery.
And
on
I think
this.
It's three different kinds of wood. This just makes it like some sort of. What is it? A wood
you
duncan?
Have to see
I don't
the,
know.
Duncan. The sandwich through the trees, Matt.
You're right. Three trees had to die for this.
So, how is Whitestone and traveling back to an old favorite town from the old campaign?
I've already forgotten. Did Fern talk to the Sun Tree?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Oh, yeah.
So she was like talking. I was like, are you like just saying this out loud? Or are you a casting figure claim? She's like, do I have it? I do. I'm like, okay, here we go. Two campaigns later, not much has changed.
Hey.
The old Sun Tree.
It's him.
Hey.
I was sure he had picked up windsurfing or something. Yeah, it was like starting to macrame. I don't know. Slowly the branches were macrameing. Yeah.
Sounds about right.
Yeah.
Oh, it's fun to bring in the clock tower finally.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, thank you for that.
There's all kinds of cool stuff. The riflemen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the riflemen corps.
A lot of problems.
What did the rifles, like, how advanced were they?
I mean, not super, like, nothing in there is super, like, the super advanced crazy shit is something else. But, like, anything that you saw, anything that came up was all...
Anything that has the opportunity to fall into the hands of somebody outside of Whitestone is mid-level tech.
Yeah, not crazy stuff.
But Percy's got some machine guns downstairs.
No,
he's got an Uzi downstairs.
I mean, Percy, not really. But it's in the book that there are some other people who are there's kind of a CIA kind of there's like a small group of
he's definitely becoming Batman from Batman Beyond. Essentially,
yeah.
Like that's the path for Percy.
Oh yeah, he's got a little dark.
Yeah, he's gone a little dark.
Yeah,
finally. After all this time.
Does he need like a colorful sidekick, like a Robin type?
I mean, that's Ooh. Gwendolyn.
Gwen.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
yeah.
Gwen is a sidekick. Is Robin?
Yeah, basically. I mean,
of all the children. Probably the closest.
Cool.
Yeah, it's definitely
is
the kid.
She your favorite?
I'd read that comic book.
Yeah, that's pretty sick.
Favorite is a complicated term.
Mm. Why Gwendolyn?
Gwendolyn.
Because she's a tiefling?
Gwendolyn because it's the first kid who he recognizes most of his bad qualities being inherent in this child, and so doesn't really know what to do other than try and encourage them in the right direction. So...
Interesting.
It's just kind of an opportunity to be like, I wonder what would happen if I was still my terrible self, but like someone actually encouraged the best parts of my terrible self.
Which, once again, Batman from Batman Beyond.
Mm. It's yes,
the
exactly.
The whole dynamic just continues to fill itself. I love it.
Yeah, it is the Batman Beyond vibe.
I dig it. But it was Whitestone when you got there, and then we went to Laudna's Darkstone.
Yeah.
Are we calling it Darkstone?
That was what's written on the paper here.
Okay, like.
Yeah, whatever you want. I was being clever.
Fun. I like it. It's cute.
Yeah.
If I didn't like it, I wouldn't have said it.
Oh, thanks.
That was cool, too. I was admittedly confused by the parent name, they called, there was like a glitch in the Matrix, right?
They're calling her Matilda, and then they started using the name Laudna. And I could have conveyed it better, but the idea was that the scenes were starting to kind of crumble a bit. The presentation.
Delilah was having a hard time keeping it together.
Keeping it together, more or less. Like, the further
Laudna's
you pushed.
Her name is Laudna.
Now.
Correct?
The name she uses now is Laudna.
And it was
before,
Matilda.
It was Matilda.
She was born Matilda. Matilda Bradbury.
And when did she change it? When she died?
She changed it.
No, when she was
like
a kid.
Years. No. After she died and was alone in the woods for a prolonged amount of time and kind of just started losing touch with who she was and where she came from.
And reinvented herself?
Kind of just, yeah, kind of.
Got a little weird out there?
Got a little weird out there.
Does she hate the name Matilda?
We're going to find out, aren't we? Sorry.
I guess we'll find out.
Boy,
she doesn't hate it. She just became something else.
Was Lana
Ashton's dying.
A middle name, or was it connected to anything, or just something that she
something that stumbled she kind of found and stumbled onto?
Ooh,
maybe we'll figure that out in campaign. But yeah.
Ooh, look at that mystery brewing. Kinda... like it.
Jinkies.
It's good.
After a decade of not really having anybody to talk to, you get a little weird.
Does she live forever?
Only one way to find out.
Well. Categorically not.
Does she die forever?
But I mean, like, so. if unkilled, oh man, Omar.
Oh boy. Oh wait, you got zoomies?
Would she just exist in the same age forever if she?
She does have timeless body.
Yeah, she does.
So.
Oh my god.
Oh my god.
I hate
some fucking Matthew McConaughey.
Wow. That body timeless.
Even the sentry's like, nah, I'm not cool with that.
Oh my goodness.
Oh,
okay,
I just see a butt.
No, but I know.
Butt.
Just a big old, what are you barking at, buddy?
Every time he barks and his butthole puckers. Omar, here.
That's what happens when I bark.
Omar, what? Oh my goodness, why are you playing with people?
Oh, you came to me, of course you did.
Oh, good boy. You want to come up here? You want to come up here?
That's cool. So Laudna is immortal-ish.
So fun fact, and I didn't realize this until kind of here lately, with Bo becoming a high-level monk as well, and Keyleth becoming high-level druid, and Laudna being undead, I have three characters who just don't age.
Who are just, they're not going anywhere.
All of them
seems
have
like
timeless
a cry
body.
For help.
Look, it's really hard being a woman in Hollywood. Slowly aging.
Wow.
Okay?
Wow.
Let me have this.
Well, like, Bo will still die. She'll
Is this
just,
what you
she'll,
want? Is that what Sam was trying to
just
encourage?
Just died never having to, like, buy more outfits.
That whiskey?
Is that the...
It's not.
Sure, yeah.
Stuff.
Okay.
More or less.
Which
I think that'll
be.
Work out well.
And then, but like, yeah, Keyleth ain't going nowhere, or at least for a very, very, very long time.
Correct.
Right. And then Laudna, who the fuck knows?
And yeah. Bo,
only time will tell.
Bo is still a human.
Sure.
She just doesn't get old, and she also doesn't need to eat or, like, sleep. Or drink water or something, right? That's the way, like, I don't know.
It's weird.
Which is fine.
Still will.
But I still will, yeah.
You don't need to. Do you digest things?
Yeah.
Is it just like fresh cut grass? Does it just sit there for a while?
It's like Attack on Titan, you just put it in the mouth for a little bit and then spit it out. And...
Could you be stuck in a cave for like 80 years and when it comes out, it's just, you're really weird about the whole like process of eating and what happens? Is that just, does that get uncomfortable?
Are we talking about me personally?
I mean, no, not you. I know what happens if we put you in a cave for 80 years. That's not interesting.
We've done that before. Yeah.
Talking about Bo, God.
Bo, I think it's just trying to capture that monk zen, like the idea that
I've
they can like fast and not have this need for
perfection of the
yes, I'm pretty sure that's what they're trying to convey, is that like I can sustain myself with
monks.
Good thoughts and intentions and vibes.
Works for me.
Yeah. Eat, pray, love.
And ramen.
No. But yes, creepy Whitestone. I'm prompting myself on stuff.
No,
please.
Great. Doing it. Are we supposed to move on to the next thing? Or no?
Well, it was moving buildings. It
I
was
like
creepy.
That.
Oh, yes. You moved buildings,
I moved
Matt.
Buildings.
Yes. You're commenting that you did creepy things? Yes.
I did. I really enjoyed.
We've had a couple trips into people's brains. This was a fun one of like your terrible unconscious.
It was so wild to watch you guys experience my backstory without me being there.
Yeah.
It was so weird.
It's also fun to watch each of you begin to drop off from the table. And begin joining her on
the
side.
Fight,
we had some fun back there.
That was fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just having a little side party.
Yeah, it was great.
Oh my goodness.
God, I wanted to throw Liam so bad. I'm still.
Marcia
next
had been
next time.
Back there for so long, she had like a whole living room set up for
I
herself.
Kind of did.
fun tiny fact about everybody who was at the table at the end, it was all the Campaign 2 spoilers, but it was all of the people who were taken by the Iron Shepherds or passed away who were the ones left with Delilah.
Cool.
Interesting.
Because it was right, Laura, Liam, Marisha, Travis. And Sam who left the table.
Just how
so it was like the reverse.
Yeah, it was reversed. Cool.
That's pretty rad.
Kismet.
It's pretty cool.
Look at that. Look at that. Patterns, y'all. It's all connected.
It is.
Definitely all connected.
You know, it was pretty great. I had a little, they brought me a little ferny pad.
Aww.
And it was mainly so that the like sound of the chair wouldn't make
really
noise. But then I just laid down on the floor on the ferny pad and would have snacks and
that's
pretty have
great.
My iPad. And
see, it's not so bad to die in D&D.
No.
Yeah, it was fine. It was
not
great.
To hang out back there.
Yeah.
Totally.
It's kind of nice.
I say, you don't know.
I stretch my legs.
No, I would love to die, though.
Yeah.
give me a day off. And
you did before Scanlan.
I mean, technically.
That's true. Did I leave the table ever?
Wait, did Scanlan die?
Yeah, that was the whole fix him, Grog, in campaign one.
Oh, that's
after
right.
After the Raishan fight, yeah.
But I think I was only down for like
a hot minute. Because we were pretty high level at that point.
Yeah, it was a part of the episode. Hot minute.
Yeah.
Because you had a lot of people with resurrection stuff.
Yes. Stuff at that point.
But got to.
FCG can die, right? Can FCG die?
I think so. Think so.
We'll find out when we get there.
Yeah.
Not if.
When?
Yeah.
How do you res up? Do we res?
I've got a soul.
Jumper cables,
yeah.
Right?
It's been confirmed,
jumper
yeah.
Jumper cables?
Yeah.
That's
jumper
valid.
Cables. I think you have to put it in Nooch and start, like, roll down a hill and then
gas it.
Perfect.
We all just weakened Bernie as FCG running him down a hill.
Okay, so okay. Hit the start. Yeah. No, flood it.
Lady bolt. Oh my goodness.
Oh man.
But got to fight Delilah for the 17th time.
Oh Matt, you're doing such a good job. Keeping us on track.
I'm trying. I rolled poorly and I'm trying.
We fought Delilah for the millionth time.
Yep. That bitch won't stay down.
Dude, so what level Delilah was that?
The actual the creature that I created was called the Shade of Delilah Briarwood. So it is.
Just gonna move on.
We're back around.
Oh, okay.
There we go. Good boy.
It's Delilah Shade, and that was. Will you tell us what level or no? That's secret.
Well, it's not really a level per se, because you know creatures don't follow the same rules as player characters in the design of 5e. But definitely a diminished capability, given the fact that she is not of her.
Sure, she doesn't have her full
proper
power
physical
sheet.
Form, her full power set, and everything.
Is it even really her, or is it like a weird memory of a that was the vibe I was kind of getting. Is like it was a seed of that consciousness that could.
Yeah,
you know,
and a few times you
totally...
said like when Pike was sort of talking about what had happened and stuff. Even she was, at one point, she was like, yeah, there's a chance that Delilah is gone forever now.
Correct.
Do you know the answer?
I do.
Did you roll right there that night?
I rolled right there. The reason I didn't roll in front of the screen was because I wanted the mystery to be remain.
But you
to remain
know.
Up, I know, yeah.
Oh, man.
So, I don't know.
So there's a chance that the spark... A glint of Delilah's soul essence exists in some liminal state out there and could find purchase in somebody else or some other thing. Maybe she'll come back as a dog.
Probably, specifically a corgi.
You could, just to be sure, you could throw Laudna in an acid pit.
That's true.
That is a great idea.
Oh my God.
Just in case.
Just saying.
Could Delilah come back as a smoke demon?
Crossing too many of the streams now. It's just getting weird now.
But yeah, I don't know. Is she still? I asked him on the way home. I was like,
"You're not allowed to ask that stuff."
I'm gonna ask her.
Well,
metagaming car rides.
He didn't tell me shit.
No, Travis is the worst about asking about stuff.
He does.
Oh, he'll try and catch me off guard and be like, "Oh, what's this mean?"
Oh, he does his thing where he's like, "Well, I know that you said that Delilah's definitely coming back, right?
Yeah, he does that shit all the time.
He doesn't like text you offline.
No. And she doesn't either. She was just curious, I think, on the way home.
He does love knowing.
Yeah. He does.
Like, he doesn't learn and what was really going on.
Yeah, and I'll tell him incorrect shit every now and then just to fuck him and be like, really? I'm like, I don't know.
Ooh.
Is it? And he's like, oh, wait, God really? Damn it. Oh, yeah. No, I'll mess with him.
Oh, that's actually good to know. That way, if he ever says something that you're like, that's not right. It's probably
I've specifically woven like a whole era of confusion so okay, that nobody
good.
Ever knows.
Good.
It works well.
But yeah, I mean, am I still gonna have magic? Is she there? How do warlocks work?
Well, you came back and you were able to bring everyone's favorite.
I did bring Pate alive.
Pate to life.
Oh wow! So, what spell was that?
Find familiar.
But modified to. The specifics of Lautner and her dead rat.
Yes. Pretty well, because cool.
Force accent on GM level 5.
I'm packed. Yeah. I'm packed of the chain. So packed of the chain, warlocks get Find Familiar, but they can get like a special version of Find Familiar where they can have like a pseudo dragon, yeah. An imp.
Normally, you can only get like a bat or a rat or a dog or something that's like 2 hit points and can, sure. And it's just more there for like searching and being a pet that you can kind of see through.
Yeah.
But with the Pact of the Chain, you can be more powerful creatures. Like this is specifically using an imp's stat, so it can fly, it can talk, it can has dark vision, it can do all these weird things.
Ooh. Yeah.
But it's just
skinned,
it's a pervy guy from the Bronx now.
Yeah, it is. You know, just trying to see what's going on, eh?
I'm so glad I don't have to do the Pate voice anymore.
Nope, he's mine now.
I keep imagining one of those creatures from that stop-motion Alice in Wonderland. I'm trying to, you know, the one I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
It's just the, like, you know, weird taxidermied animals who keep feeding themselves sawdust to keep that. Yeah.
I thought about that forever.
Is he eating something?
What's wrong? He's doing something.
What are you eating?
What are you at?
Omar. Hey, bring it here.
I put chocolate and grapes all over the floor.
Nope.
Is that okay?
Oh, great, thanks.
Cool. It was a wrapper.
Oh, it's a wrapper?
Good looking out.
An old candy wrapper from Halloween.
He'll find them.
I'm so sorry.
I don't care.
Anything in the ground, he'll find it and chew on it.
Why?
As it says here, we were all impressed by Matt's one-man show doing every Vox Machina character. If each of us had to do a one-man show of something, be it book, movie, TV show, what would it be and why?
Oh, boy.
What would it be and why?
I know.
That was the weirdest laugh
I've ever heard. Yeah, I know. I was just trying to think, like, I'm not really familiar with. I'm not familiar with. I've never read a
book. IPs?
The only things that I'm familiar with are things like Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Oh, that'd be
I
mean,
that's
a great choice.
I could do a one-man show of that.
What do you mean? You're acting like you don't know what pop culture is.
No, I do, but like I feel like I don't know. Like, there's not a lot of things that I know deeply, intimately, like that sure. I'm not a super fan of.
Okay,
that's true.
Sam, I would pay good money to see you do a one-man show of Bill and Ted's Excellent
Adventure.
Same.
Yeah, no,
that
sounds
really exciting. That's a great answer. I didn't know you were.
I'll Indiegogo that.
Do you consider yourself like a, like, is that your fandom, Bill and Ted's? Do you love Bill and
Ted's? No, but I've seen it many times.
That's cool.
I've seen, there's a couple movies that I've seen like 40, 50 times, but they're the weirdest movies.
Like?
Memphis Belle. Glengarry Glenn Ross.
That kind of weird. Okay.
Oh my God.
I was wondering what
Adventures
kind of weird we're going for.
Sitting.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
These were all movies I worked on a cruise ship when I was a teenager, and they played the same 8 movies on the cruise ship over and over and over again. So I saw these 8 movies 1,000 times.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah. Wow.
I love the idea of like you doing a whole series of one-man shows based entirely on being on cruise ship.
Movies?
Like the meta on that is really intense.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, we'll workshop it. We'll figure something out.
Sam Riegel's cruising.
And that's when I realized this cruise was a one-way trip. Sure.
Taliesin, what's your choice?
Oh God, I have to come up with
this? Yes!
That's terrible.
Why all
would
of you have
do
to
that?
Answer these questions because I am the host and
Jesus.
I say so.
Jesus.
That's impressive. And the nice thing is I can be impressed by that while actually trying to think of something interesting to do.
That's true.
I don't, I mean, like most of my favorite film choices are just not interesting in this direction. Oh God.
You know a lot of weird
films. I know, it's like too weird and obscure.
I do have one.
Space Camp the movie.
Space Camp?
Space Camp the movie as a one-man show.
Oh my God.
Real.
It's also pretty good.
Yeah. Space, the TV series?
Oh.
No. I was just...
What do you got?
Only because I feel like we've been talking about this movie a lot here lately, mm-hmm. and it keeps coming up in conversation, is Popeye movie.
Oh yes.
That would be a great one-man show.
Right.
Especially since all the characters are talking at the same time. In every scene.
And all mumbling at each other.
It feels like it would be the ultimate challenge because there are 40 characters and they all talk at once.
You'd have to be a ventriloquist to pull that off. That's amazing. Yeah.
We have one of those like loop pedals.
Oh my God. You could get so artsy with it.
I'm here for it.
Yeah.
No, that's so good.
How do you follow up after that one? I think you won.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, no, you did win.
I think you won.
That's, I would be in your one woman show.
That's one thing in life.
There you go. Perfect. Oh, there's more in here.
What's next?
I
think that's the end.
Of the show?
Of our big segment. So it's time for a pull from the Tower of Inquiry. Indeed.
Inquiry.
One of us pulls a block from the tower, reads the number, and Danny tells us the corresponding question and who asked it. And if the Tower of Inquiry falls, consequences will befall the one who ruins it. Squishy and befuddling consequences. I don't know.
Befuddling.
And so with that in mind, Marisha, you go. Since you just came back.
Yeah.
You get to kick us
off. Yeah, okay. That's fine. That's fair.
Just throw it. Work.
Young Frankenstein, that's a good one.
Oh, that
there
is a good one.
Young Frankenstein, that's a great choice.
That's a solid one.
All right. Do good.
Tangential Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
Yeah, it could be fun.
Because that one's weird enough.
Yeah, it's weird.
Willy Wonka, like from the book?
No. Like the Gene Wilder weird one.
Gene Wilder one?
Good choice.
Okay. Yeah, that's good. 21.
21
was chosen.
My age.
You know, oh, you beat me to it, you bitch.
I'm young and fast.
I've seen those legs.
That's right. The timeless
legs. Sorry, Danny, go ahead.
You're good.
Yeah.
No, y'all continue. From Lunard Ying, how did you come up with your character's name?
Ooh.
Oh, man. Kind of just talked about this a little bit.
We did?
Okay, well.
Oh, yeah, you.
So, well, we all cover it.
Yeah.
So, Ladna, maybe we'll get to.
But there is a reason.
Yeah. And then Matilda, because when I was looking for inspiration behind Ladna, I went down a rabbit hole of the young flower girls because I was having a lot of night terrors, and that's where Ladna came from. And then my nightmare, I saw a little like peasant flower girl. I think I've mentioned this before. And then so I was like, wonder what that is. And then I went down this rabbit hole about in the late 1800s, the young flower girls that would work in silk flower factories in England and across Europe. And they would use, this paint called Shell's Green, which was made by, I don't know, an old British white man named like something Shell. I forgot his fucking first name. It's like probably Robert Shell, something like that.
Robert Shelley.
And he made this specific green paint that everyone loved and was obsessed with because it was very bright and vibrant, and it's incredibly hard to make pigmented green paints still to this day. And they loved it so much because it had arsenic in it.
Yay! Oh.
And
everybody who made it died?
Yeah, they were all getting sick.
Jeez.
And they didn't really know why. But they would have like 12, 13, 14, 15-year-old girls working in these silk flower factories, painting the leaves of these silk flowers.
There's all these stories of like with asbestos and this and other things of factories.
Radium is another one.
Early lead tin canning.
Yeah.
There's never stories about like factories putting like good stuff like by accident. They put in a whole bunch of vitamin C. It's always something horrible that kills children.
Capitalism.
What's in the hat bands? I'm trying to remember what was in the hat bands that would where the Mad as a Hatter came from. Danny, do you remember that?
It might have also been like, Mercury.
It was Mercury.
Yeah,
it was
because they used to use Mercury to help shape and form the hats.
So
I
many
think is what it was.
Haberdashers would
go
cuckoo.
Yeah.
And like, Homer's like
not really
going
to burn to death.
Because
right?
they got poisoned.
They'll figure it out.
It's a fake fire, right?
It was a thing.
It'll indeed. Be fine.
Same thing happened with like lead canning.
But yeah, that's one true. Of the little
drive,
girls
drive people
that.
Into craziness.
That died was like a 14-year-old girl that died that made them start to be like, maybe we should like change things, was named Matilda.
Oh. Huh.
Yeah,
that's
back
cool.
in the day.
It's an homage to young Matilda.
Yeah, to the young flower girl
something.
That gave me my
he's
nightmare.
Got something. He's doing
a
something.
Cheery.
I don't like it.
Omar, don't get into the sticks.
I'm gonna go stop him while I go pick one for myself.
Omar, don't get the
don't
sticks.
Don't cast your flame, come on.
How'd you come up with Ashton? I read an article about how.
Oh, okay.
I read an article about how freshly cut grass screams.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just thought that was so cool.
Yeah.
It's terrifying.
It's just the smell of fresh cut grass is the smell of despair because it's...
It's like sending out like a help me signal.
Yeah, chemical.
Just the chemical
help. I hate this. So
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
But everyone's like, oh, it's so cute.
So lovely.
So
it's
nice.
Just reminds me of childhood.
Yeah.
Ashton, what's the Ashton name?
Ashton is actually from a friend of mine who I just was trying to find something that was nice and sort of...
Punk sounding?
Punk and like genderless and like, it was like my friend Ash is pretty much in that pocket. And then Greymoor was because I was on this weird kick for, I was getting obsessed with Dickensian name, with Charles Dickens naming.
Yeah.
And so, which is why everyone involved, like any, you can always tell an NPC that I name because they have the most like Dickensian strange, like they always have like a little rhyme in it, or there's some like, you know, Bob Cratchit, or you know, Mr. Bumble. They're all a little silly.
Mm-hmm. All those are little... in Marquette, actually. It's strange.
Yeah.
Number three.
I am.
Number three.
You're that right, buddy. You got ash on his face.
Oh, did you get fake ass?
You got fake ass?
Not it
is. This face.
Not even real fire. I don't know how we got it. It's impressive.
Oh my goodness, you did. That's super cute. Come here.
You just beat dust.
Oh, you can't. You guys, you're stylish. Oh my God.
Oh wow.
Oh wow. He's really dirty.
Okay, hold on.
There we go.
Save us, Danny.
To the question, Danny, please. Save us.
I just can't stop looking at Omar. From Calypso Lucia on Twitter.
Calypso.
Did you all have one-to-ones/two-to-ones with Matt before the game started, like you did with Campaign 2? If so, how did they go?
We did,
yeah.
Me and Laura had one. As
me and Taliesin had one.
We had one. Yep. It was fun. We made a friend that we never have really dealt with.
Yeah, we made a friend in Drusar, who... Did he give us something?
Yeah, he owes us a ride.
He owes us a free ride.
Yeah, we gotta cash that in at some point.
Yeah. Yeah, it was fun.
It was.
It was. We were still figuring out vocally how our characters would be and personality-wise, but the mechanics were there and it was pretty fun.
Watching you find that voice was a lot of fun. It was hard not laughing.
Laura found the same voice.
I know. Ever since we went into our one-on-one with Laura, and I think I'd already played with you guys at that time. And so she started doing her voice, and in my head I was like, should I say
boy.
No?
Nah, let it happen.
Yeah, we'll wait until it happens for a session. Because why not, I mean?
Sure.
People can have the same dialect.
Yeah.
Yes, it's true. People sometimes do in the real
Isn't
world.
Isn't it weird? sometimes people have the same name, too. Which is why whenever an NPC has the same name
Jameson?
As another NPC, Jameson or Ira or different things, people are like, it's
Ira.
All connected.
Oh,
I'm like, or
the Ira thing is connected though. That's a real thing.
Sure, but yeah, there people can have the same name. But anyway,
one of the Iras is hyphenated Ira, like a He-Man villain.
Oh. That's Ira.
No, don't say that. That means I have to change. Like,
yes, you do.
Spellings. Don't put that in the world.
Oh, you hit the replace. You hit the replace
no.
all. You just hit the replace all button.
No. Allison, no.
Yeah, go to little one-on-ones, which is fun to get everyone situated on that.
Oh, yeah.
Did you do one with Travis? Because he was coming back as...
No, because he already knew Bertrand Bell and had him established. Bertrand.
Yeah.
And I didn't do it with the rest of the crew because their one-on-ones was instead
in
all of EXU's.
Oh, that's yeah.
That wasn't as necessary for them.
Yeah.
One cool thing about that is Sam got to pull the next block. So.
Oh!
That is
cool.
We're doing it again. Full round.
We're doing a full three, at least. Nope.
Oh, shit.
Nope.
Oh, boy.
Oh, shit.
Oh, that's right.
I don't like
go bad.
This.
Nope.
Oh, boy.
They're really tight.
You're coming at this with like
out.
The energy of a 3-year-old.
I don't like this.
So you can't go that high.
You can't go that high.
Here, I got
it.
This is, oh my God.
I think we're good.
You give zero fucks.
God.
That was the most brazen around.
That's me. You put that up there.
What's the number?
44.
34.
Oh, God. I'm so scared right now.
That was masterful.
Oh, boy.
What's your favorite one-on-one role-play moment with your character so far this campaign?
Ooh.
From at Unsnoppable on Twitter.
Unsnoppable?
I like it.
One-on-one, like, with another person?
Role-play moment.
Role-play
with
moment?
Your character. So however you want to interpret that.
I can't remember all of them. I'm sure I've had many brilliant moments this campaign. But I really enjoyed this... this dream journey that I just went on with Laura, that wasn't really a role-playing moment, but it was just a cool,
cool
moment.
Yeah, it was fun.
It was interesting. Just like being in her mind-ish.
Yeah.
We've done a lot of mind things
you have.
Lately.
Yeah. This whole campaign seems to be going more like mind and conscious delving.
Yeah.
Exactly. He's just the big bad, is Chris Angel.
We should get Chris Angel to come on.
He's not doing much
at the very end. Mind freak.
Just, hop in, hop
just
out.
Just business.
Thought that would make it a good cameo for your Nord shot.
Ooh.
Oh, no.
Ooh, Chris Angel.
Chris Angel.
Oh, boy.
I'll try.
What is he doing? I feel like a lot of nothing.
I'll Google him while you guys answer the question.
Yeah, Jocelyn, what's your favorite one-on-one?
I mean, we've had a couple of fun ones, I
feel like we need more.
We got one coming up. Yeah, I'm gonna be. I say that like I.
You were very quiet when Lana came back. You said like 2 words.
Yeah.
That whole game after I came back.
Yeah, there was a lot, and it was like I need to wait till the rest of this is done because there was just too much going on.
I want to know.
There's going to be some talking, because I have the
R&B singer Genuine passes out unconscious after a dangerous Chris Angel magic stunt gone wrong. This is in the news. Genuine has made a full recovery, confirms rep. Chris Angel is killing R&B artists.
Someone has to stop him. It could be us.
What?
We could stop him.
Holy shit. Chris Angel.
Genuine got mic freaked.
Yes!
He did.
Oh, no!
I have the memory of a park squirrel, I really enjoyed fucking around with Percy. It was amazing.
That was fun.
Like, yeah, that's the problem.
Honestly,
I always
that,
have, like,
that was delightful. Like having,
I need to look up
having
notes.
A one-on-one role-play moment as a Vox Machina character to the player who once played it
was really cool.
Really, really fun and intimidating.
Especially a character who just loathed him.
And that's what made that so fun.
Just fucking hated him.
It was just absolute disdain from both sides. And through that sparring match, a weird like respect was established.
Whatever you need to tell yourself,
like a
sure.
Hint, a hint of like, take a thing. Take a thing.
Yeah, that was really pleasing. That was really, really pleasing.
It was good.
I think.
You've had a lot of good Laura stuff.
You and Laura.
A lot of great Laura stuff. I was going to say one that definitely stands out is when I broke the rock on the airship.
Yeah, that was good.
And then subsequently, all of the one-on-one conversations I had with people individually of them giving their own unique advice of how to fix the situation with the broken rock.
That was fun.
Those were all great, and just a great kind of series of one-on-ones that was very confusing.
It was a series of good character studies. Yeah,
it was a great character study on how people give advice to fix when your friend is mad at you over a broken rock. So it was pretty good. Those were great.
New friend.
I just remembered another one. I enjoyed giving couples therapy where Matt was playing both parts of the,
ends
of the couple to NPCs. That
the,
was fun.
The green cape people?
They were there.
The detectives?
Yeah. Oh,
one of the green seekers was part of that relationship.
Yeah.
It was Gus, I think. And then it was his ex who worked the mine.
Yeah, that
They're
was
doing
good.
Fine now, by the way.
Oh, that's great.
Both
are they back
dead.
Together?
Those are good.
Huh?
Yeah, are they back together?
They're both dead. They got back together, now they're both dead.
We're heading back to Drusar.
You're in Drusar.
Should we check in on them?
They're both dead in the mine. Does
well,
no one
make a they call? Travel around, so they may not be there, but we should.
Yeah.
You can always check
in. On Gus and
yeah,
like,
there's nothing else going on right now.
It's been a few weeks.
Weird.
Do you want to check?
Yeah.
Thank you, Lunar, Ying, Calypso, Lucia, and Unsnopable. And if you have an evergreen question for our Tower of Inquiry, which is now precariously ruined by Sam and ready to topple any moment, you can enter it at critroll.com/tower. And with that, let's go ahead and slide into the deep dive.
Oh, the deep dive.
Will you be so kind as to serve us some tankards with carefully crafted questions? We're going to take turns pulling questions from our tankards. And since I'm the tavern keeper, I'll be kicking this off myself once I receive it. Which is on
thank you.
I'm stalling for time, can't you tell?
Here you go.
Thank you, love. Mm. All right, I'll go in here for mine first. First one I pull off here is, how did the skill check system work for Laudna's mind? Were the successes slash failures weighed differently depending on the moment? More or less, like, it was an extended skill check, meaning there was a long journey to get to the center, but not every ability check being made applied to the skill check. You know, if someone's like, do I see something around? Roll perception, that technically wasn't applied to the overall challenge. It's more like a crucial moment, some people were applying. You know, I was kind of playing it loose to see, you know, heroic moments that made sense, attention that would actually like really propel the journey forward or backward. And so it was kind of like feeling out a certain number of successes versus failures on those certain challenges when they came up.
Yeah, so there was like the big one of like, you had the good idea of putting the fire out in the house.
Yeah.
That was a good one, right?
Yeah, and like, and that's the thing too, like some of it's a skill challenge, it's in like, it's a role, maybe it's in a clever idea, or just an idea that works well in a scenario. I don't think it has to necessarily be like a role just based on, you know, if you had a clever fix for something.
Yeah, it's Professor X shit.
I like when you do that stuff, Matt, where it's like, you're prompting us, not necessarily like, do this thing and you make it through to the next step, but it's more like, come up with something. Be creative.
Yeah.
Just flex your imagination here. It's cool. Yeah.
Just be a little weird with it. It's fun. It's
what would have happened if Orym did not find the loose floorboard with the tunnel under the house?
Oh, that would have been, the journey would have continued on through the forest and would have had another Laudna memory moment, another possible encounter, and it would have elongated the journey, which means by the time you got to Delilah, you probably would have been
pretty drained.
More drained than you were.
Well,
and then eventually it would have flipped over to, like, it would have been just like a slow curve over, very much like the world in Animal Crossing, how it's just one big cylinder. Eventually the forest would have just flipped over to the other side of the Dark White Stone. So you can basically just skip a portion of the journey and challenge, which was fun.
And then there was
Mario tunneled it.
White Stone Andy,
yep.
Yeah. Turns out to be a jerk.
He's a dick.
Well, you said he threw dirt in your face.
I did.
So I incorporated that into the scene.
I still feel like there's a chance with you two.
Campaign's still going.
Maybe he grew up and became a really nice guy and he's always regretted it.
Or it's one of those things like when you go back to like your hometown and like the guy you had a crush on is like really like let himself go.
Oh, yeah,
and,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
You shovel
or
and drink
he
it
also
shit
went to the other side of the castle. Like,
shoveling trinket shit, what'd you say?
Yeah, or he also went to the dinner with you way back. You don't know.
No, no, yeah. It's true, I don't know.
He looked very gnomish when he was young.
Oh.
No. That was fun.
Hard life.
Who's up next? You go, Talison, because you didn't pull from the tower.
Why am I making this difficult? There we go.
All right, yes.
Your cup's awesome because it's see-through.
Thank you,
like
it's my favorite
things.
Pot.
You do.
What was it like to argue with Percy as Ashton? Is there anything else you wish you could have said to him or that you expected Percy to say to Ashton? I say wearing the glasses.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed that. I enjoyed every moment of that. I enjoyed being like just yelling at myself for a little bit was really pleasing.
It makes so much sense that Ashton and Percy would hate each other.
Yeah, they would.
Ashton is the antithesis of anything Percy would ever respect.
Yeah,
genuinely.
When I said earlier respect was not the right word for it.
I mean that too. But
it was recognizing somebody else who also was just full of anger and force. And was
sure.
Like, okay.
But not handling it nearly as well somehow.
Yeah.
Despite the clear illogic of that. Yeah, it was nice. It was nice just getting to yell and be indignant to yourself. That was really, and you really hit it so well. It was really, I love playing Percy. I would do it again in an instant, but playing against Percy was really satisfying.
Yay, that makes me happy.
Yeah, it was a ton of fun. I would have kept going for 20 more minutes if I had been allowed, but it was like, okay, I've eaten enough of time. I'm gonna get out of here.
No worries. Sam.
I'm picking.
I believe in you.
Got them all.
Answer them all at once.
I win.
your Vox Machina character, Scanlan, best character, did not show up in Whitestone. What do you imagine Scanlan's reaction to Lautner would have been, and where were you? Where do you think he is right now? I think Scanlan. Whoa. Boy, what would Scanlan think of Lautner? He probably would be okay with her. I mean, she's weird. He likes weird.
Yeah. Does he have that kink?
Oh, that kink?
I mean,
he likes. he has a weird kink, but I don't know about the dead thing.
kept that troll dick an awful long time. Just saying.
I hate this. This is the worst question.
Just saying. Had that a while.
You know. I want to, you know, I've spent so much time with Scanlan at this point, I'd like to think no, but if I'm being honest.
Can we just say no? Let's just say no.
We'll say no, but you guys know the answer.
I mean, Risha, pick a question.
But where is Scanlan right now? I assume he's based on the Tal'Dorei guide. Available in stores everywhere.
Yes, everywhere.
Yeah, available in gas stations everywhere. he splits his time between, he does some Whitestone time and he does some Marquette time. Most of the year, I think he's in Marquette with Kaylee, helping run the old meat man business.
Yep.
So I assume he's in Ankarel or maybe traveling around Marquette finding Auger d'art to purchase and sell or stealing from the rich and giving to the poor. And I don't know, he's just going around Marquette, leading his divorced life.
Holy fuck. We could run into Scanlan.
You could run into Scanlan, and he's newly divorced, so he's probably like looking for some action.
I think I can imagine the mansion is now just filled with IKEA furniture. Yeah. Oh boy.
Billy the bookcase says hello. What you got, Bridget?
Did you give Matt any stipulations for Laudna's resurrection ritual? Was there anything that the players could have done that would have resulted in a more or less favorable outcome for Laudna's soul? No real stipulations. I just encouraged you, like, whatever happens, happens. You know, I don't want to try and force it one way or another. And if they botch it, they botch it. And I was willing to...
You got real close to botching it.
Yeah. I was willing to accept it, you know, no matter how it fell. So that was mainly it. It was just, like, don't feel like you have to, like, pad rolls or...
No, I know. I know you trusted on that too.
Yeah. And then, yeah, I was just kind of watching to see if they, you know, kind of take it in the moment. So, yeah.
Yay.
With natural honor and dignity. One.
That's what we're known for is honor.
Honor, dignity,
and
grace.
And dignity. I'll do one more round of these.
Okay. Let's do it. Speed round. I don't know.
Couple. We've got time. We've got time.
What inspired Lord Eshteros to bequeath the skyship to Bell's Helves? Did he believe they would have more use for it than the textile company? In the long run, no.
assumed it was tax purposes, but whatever.
Yeah, that's likely, honestly. At this point, he's just laundering whatever he had left. There's a law. Yeah, he
got an old airship. Donate it for a tax write-off.
Yeah, you've got a limit.
1-800 Skyship for Kids.
whatever the version of NPR.
That's right.
We will take your used Skyship.
But no, I mean, in his mind, he knew it was coming. He's known it was coming for a long time. Just this was the first immediate, like, Odohan Fool has a history, knows his name, the connection. It was just a matter of time in his mind, and so he kind of got all his affairs in order and was very right. And for him, knowing what you guys had to do, what you had ahead of you, this mystery that you were unfolding, essentially, and knew you to be some of the few good-hearted, trustworthy people that he's encountered in many years, he felt that it would behoove Exandria proper better to let you have the airship than anyone else for the moment. And that was very much kind of his logic behind it, so. Aww. Anyway, yeah.
Estrosh.
I'm gonna miss that boy.
Yeah, he's a good boy.
You killed him.
I did. The logic killed him. It made sense.
The logic killed him.
It wasn't me going like, yeah, I'm gonna kill him. It was like, yeah, he's not here.
Yeah, it was time. It was gonna happen. It was. How does Ashton feel about the Hishari popping back up? Is this a curiosity that has long sat unsated, or has he pushed away the vague memory of the parents?
Oh, yeah. What the fuck is up with that?
Yeah, we haven't actually gotten to sit down to talk about any of that.
Are you an ASMR? Were you an ASMR? What are you?
I mean, technically, but like, yes. Actually, not even technically. Yes, but it's complicated. You would, yeah. Like,
are you cursed?
I mean, no more than anyone else.
Why are you so enigmatic?
I'd tell you, but
why are you like this?
Why so many zippers?
Why so many zippers
on your pants?
Oh, from these, you would have to
why
ask
so many
topic
skulls?
About that.
You have three skulls.
You know, four technically. thanks
true.
For noticing.
Yeah, it's very, very Nemora-centric attire. I appreciate.
It's one of those things that that Ashton has worked very hard not to think about. There's a lot of things that they function with by not thinking about, and it's now finally kind of been put in front of him, and it's just too much now. So yeah, it was not a thing. It was not a thing. There was clearly never going to be a way to like get there. There was no connection until very recently, when like that just that word that had been in the head, and it may have been like misheard, wasn't really, was just very vague. And now this thing was sitting in front of him and was like, well, you would be a coward and an idiot not to start figuring it out. So it's just kind of the realization that just because you thought it wasn't a big deal doesn't mean it isn't. So it is going to be one of those things that now that they're starting to get more comfortable with the group is probably going to come up. Just to throw it, like Ashton only like really touched another member of the group very recently there had not been a lot of close physical contact until the last game was Whoa. The first like yeah
is that a thing
oh yeah
not a toucher
everything hurts
yeah
always
yeah
chronic pain man
beating the living fuck out of things helps you ignore it, and yeah, once this starts going, it kind of lessens. But yeah, it's just everything's always like low key bad, not even that low key.
Wow.
Yeah. Are they a dick?
I do feel like Ashton. We know the least about them out of everybody at this point.
But yeah, there was like actual like oh god okay physical contact this is happening all right okay. Yeah, so that's it.
Yeah, things.
Yes.
Yeah, attack.
Kyle doesn't want me to read the name, so I'll just say Kyle.
Kyle?
Wow.
You can't win, Kyle.
Sorry, Kyle.
That was such a good try.
Pike has confirmed that FCG has a soul! Exclamation point. How does this make FCG feel, particularly in regards to their perspective about life? They seemed a bit displeased with the discovery initially. Yeah, I think maybe not displeased. Well, yeah, displeased, just sort of like shocked. Shocked because it's more of a responsibility. It's more of a responsibility to be someone whose life matters, because not only do you, I don't know, it feels almost in a way easier to just take care of other people, or like think that that's your role in life, is to just, you know, take care of others and not worry about yourself. Mm. I know certain stage mothers who might have felt that way. and it's good to, but it's like when you have to, you're forced to be like, oh no, I got to take care of myself too. That's like way
that
harder.
Much more work. Yeah.
Oh my God. And knowing that fresh cut grass could die, and that that would be, you know, a loss for the world. That's just more pressure. And it's just more pressure and more responsibility, I think, and that's a hard thing for them to swallow, especially since they can't digest things.
That's fascinating.
Yeah.
Cool.
Is it?
They would
You're
make
analyzing
a...
me, aren't you, right now?
No, yeah,
always.
Yeah. A little armchair psychology happening.
By the way, you're the last one.
Oh.
So brazen.
What's your question, dog?
Four pixel square, Marisha. Four pixel rectangle. How does Lotna feel about her friends?
Did some emojis not translate to the printer or something?
We're just being hyper literal about what's on
this page. Why do you hurt me in this way?
How does Lotna feel about her friends having fought Delilah for her? Does Lotna believe Delilah is gone? And if so, how does she feel about that? Yeah, I mean, gonna have to still unpack that one. I mean, obviously, I think Lotna has that. You know when, like, you have those nights where you get maybe a little too drunk and then you realize that all your friends just took care of you, and then you wake up and you're like, ah, oh, fuck, I didn't want anybody to have to do that. Mm-hmm. No one wants to be anyone else's problem. So I think she's kind of, going to have to wrap her head around that she was kind of everyone else's problem for a good minute. In terms of Lotna believing that Delilah is gone and how I feel about that, I don't know. I don't know if she's gone.
Yeah,
if she's not gone, what does it mean? Is it gonna mess? I don't know.
You have new powers?
I don't know.
Some of the powers would be different now?
I don't know.
Maybe you're, what's the one where you make yourself super scary? What's that?
Form of dread.
What if that doesn't work anymore? What if you just turn into a clown or something now?
Still form of dread. That's
what if you just turn into Chris Angel?
I feel like it's still falling in the same, just in the campaign.
I would not feel okay.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a lot to unpack.
Yep.
I think she's gonna have a lot to work with, because in a lot of ways, I, Marisha, feel like she's almost been like hard rebooted, like reset back to zero. So I think it's gonna be a lot of, kind of processing, and she's kind of reverted a bit. So.
Can't wait to see what happens.
Yeah.
It's almost like she needs a therapist.
Maybe all of D&D is therapy.
Well. That means it's now time for another pull from the Tower of Inquiry.
Yes.
Marisha.
Oh, wow. Oh,
me?
Marisha's going again?
He's you
chaotic.
Go.
No.
You didn't go
you
yet.
Do
you're
whatever
right.
you want.
It's true. You're the Tower
right.
Keeper.
You're right.
Let's do this. Got
it. Believe in you, Talison.
We who are about to die salute you.
Oh, I'm gonna stand over here.
Good call.
I don't like this.
No.
Who likes this? No
Chris
one likes
Angel
this.
Angel ever pulled. Was convincing the world he was real.
How far down is the
three? You can't do the top
that's
three.
Real mind.
All right, just getting a sense of this.
Chris Angel has just been an NFT this whole time.
If anyone was.
What is the opinion on Chris Angel? Is he the Dane Cook of magic?
I think so.
I think
that's
yeah.
exactly correct.
That's actually pretty yes. dead on.
That's great.
If you're a critter.
Oh, if you're a critter, we'll have you on the show.
This
for
is
sure.
really
no.
well, I'll have you on the show. You can
there
come
you
do
go.
An ad skit with me.
That would be great. Oh no.
Don't
you fucking dare.
Which you all use in two hands and
steady,
shit.
Steadiest hands in the business.
Exactly, which is why I use two hands.
No, I respect
the
it.
Shade.
Oh, buddy.
I have a natural.
I did.
Yes. Yes. Oh,
clean 50.
50.
Dirty.
Not to 50.
Oh, hey, buddy.
From Sheebaface on Twitter.
Sheebaface.
What moment from the campaign has had the greatest impact on your character so far?
Whoa. What moment from the campaign?
I never think that way. I don't know.
When I think for Fresh Cut Grass is the flapping of wings in the night. The silhouette of a bird. It could have been anything.
We never encountered
still
Shithead.
Out there.
No, Shithead's still out there somewhere.
Or
waiting,
really
flapping.
Unpacked that.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Who knows what it could be.
Fuck.
Could be nothing. Could be everything.
I mean, it's hard to top
I literally
dying.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
that one's,
yeah, probably.
That one's, that was, you know, it's a big one.
That's a catalyst for change.
Yeah.
And impact, I suppose, yeah.
I mean, getting out of that bloody contract was, you know, the first free agent in many, 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 many years. And everything that kind of came with it was that sudden realization that I've been getting fucked with somehow.
Yeah.
Which I don't like.
Yeah.
Which I
getting
love.
Getting fucked with?
That my brain is scrambled and clearly something happened. And
people went in and
something's wrong
some
in there. There's clearly been some edits and some stuff that's weird. And then apparently when I put people into my brain, it's bad.
You were also convinced you didn't want to call Joanna Hexham. And you were convinced that it would put you back in debt with her.
I had a moment. I was going to, which I was actually, I was more than willing to. That was one of the phone calls I was going to make, was the, she's going to want a favor of some kind. Because she doesn't do anything for free.
Huh.
But it's an option. Let's do it right now. Because she does not work for free.
You should never work for free, by the way.
Unless
she does no favors.
It's a fulfilling project.
Oh, yeah.
That,
Then
that is its own reward.
It is.
Indeed.
But don't work for free.
Yeah. Oh, you're going to pick one?
I'm going to pick one.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
You do, I'll answer. For me, I think remains to be seen, but also I think getting hooked up with the old Changebringer might be. It
what,
might
what,
be something.
What
I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
I've never had a religious character. I don't know what's going to happen.
That's true.
Is FCG going to find religion?
I don't know.
It's going to be a religion bot?
It's tricky because Sam Riegel has never found religion, so I don't know how
well,
to do that.
Yeah. Well, you also play a therapy bot. And
that's true.
You're not a therapist.
I also play a robot, and I'm not a robot.
I mean, and it's
acting. Fuck, it's all
you
alive.
Play a dead person and you're alive!
Okay.
Acting.
You don't know.
25.
25.
Wow, this one's
cool.
Precarious.
Oh, yeah.
It's why is it wiggling?
I don't like this. I'm not on frame anymore. Hi!
There we go. Hi, Danny.
Choose any two characters you've played and imagine they are stuck in an elevator together. How would that interaction play out? From Lo Riley on Twitter. I'm sorry if I said that wrong.
I imagine Hazel Copperpot.
Sure.
Encountering Keyleth in an elevator. In refusing to have the door open while she got an entire 15-minute interview. Wanting to know all of
that's
the deep.
That's pretty slick.
Well, Keyleth just wants to really be left alone, kind of like Marisha, and does
out.
Not want questions asked. And that would be really annoying for Keyleth, and very fulfilling for Hazel.
It's pretty good.
I was thinking Hazel could invent Muzak and would just sit in the elevator playing really, really,
really
middly jazz, just very, very middle
that's
of the road.
Good. Yeah. I love the canon that Copperpot invented elevator music.
Yeah, just an awful cover of the Vox Machina theme.
Yeah.
Like
Beats of Love, really?
Right.
You or me, guys?
I can go.
Yeah, you
can. Well, I think if not the brave, I was in a elevator with Tyrion Darrington, she would think he's very handsome. And maybe we're stuck here, we might as well. And it would take about 5 minutes before she's like, oh my God, shut the fuck up. You're so fucking annoying, get away from me.
Yeah, it's pretty
solid.
Good.
Yeah.
Oh man, this is a weird one. I have a strange belief that if we had Percy and Molly stuck in an elevator for long enough, it would be god-awful for the first 30 minutes.
Percy and Molly?
Percy and Molly. I think Molly would slowly be driving Percy batshit crazy until they both got stoned together and everything would be great.
Oh, yeah.
They had a lot more in common than one would think. So I think that they would have weirdly got on.
Does Percy, as a 55, 60-year-old man, does he...
Little medical.
Little bit.
See how many children that is? Oh my God.
He gets some of that Zephyr choice.
Yeah. Yeah.
So again, it's Keyleth, I gotta get through the day, please.
Yeah.
So. Oh, yes! Does she deliver?
Bye, Raven.
Bye, yeah, trees.
Makes Max deliver.
Get trees by trees.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah. So, yeah, that would be, I think they would really get on if they were properly stoned.
That's pretty solid.
Yeah.
I think it'd probably be like, we'd see Gilmore and Essek.
Oh, yeah.
In an elevator.
Oh, wow. That's a fun combo.
And Essek being like, I appreciate your sense of style. And Gilmore being like, well, of course, I appreciate your appreciation. But, do you even need an elevator with the way you're floating? It's quite complicated, friend.
I love it.
It'd just be fun.
That's your one-man show.
Yeah, yeah.
I was about there to say, that was a one-man show right there.
I mean, half what I do on the show.
I know, it's true.
Oh, God. All right, because it's super curious, I want to do one more.
Okay, no. Go for it.
No?
I'm scared.
You're scared?
Do it.
Okay, then that will be you, Sam.
Only fair.
But you know how this is going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
I'm
rock steady.
Oh, God.
Jesus.
Fine, I'm fine.
Danny's not,
fine.
Though.
No, I'm terrified.
There's kind of nothing left
you,
to... Oh,
why
wait.
You gotta, you treat just, it like this.
You gotta, look, it's easy.
Well, okay.
49.
Oh, my God! The disrespect!
What the shit?
My life flashed before my eyes.
She's crazy.
Oh, God.
Reckless abandon.
Okay. There have been some wild natural 20s throughout this campaign so far, and almost every time this happens, I always hear, take a picture of that shit. My question is, what is one of the most memorable nat 20s you've rolled so far this campaign, and do you have a picture of that shit? From at, whoa.
That's
Mare
a good question.
Mare the Mermaid. I got it.
Got Did it.
It. Do you have a whole folder on your phone that's just
contextless.
Just like pictures of dice.
Not
and
a folder.
You scroll through it at night and you're like, oh, just, I remember
there,
that
one. No. I do. I have pictures and maps for that. But no, like I have all the pictures of dice. I don't do it as often as you guys because you guys are you have the more climactic National 20s every now and then. Well, I don't even take the pictures anymore because usually I just like have Travis look over and have somebody like be like, look at that shit. But yeah, what about you guys?
National 20. I don't remember myself rolling a key Natural 20 this campaign.
I had the one that had me pop back up.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Great.
From death, from being down. That was pretty clutch. And then I died anyway.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, I don't photograph my. I don't photograph anything. To be fair, I
you sketch them.
I sketch. Yeah, yeah.
Dorian had his two natural 20s. He got the picture.
That was crazy. God,
yeah. That was wild.
That was one of the wildest like series. And watching Robbie be like that, what? just suddenly reverting to like the young kid getting the best present on their birthday. Like it was so adorable. Ugh.
Now my character, when someone else rolls a natural 20, I get a little bonus.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
It's called shared exuberance.
Oh, ooh.
Yeah, I share in the happiness of others.
What happens?
You're happy because we're happy.
I think I get advantage on my next roll.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fancy.
Cool. It is fancy.
That's so cool. Fancy.
Of course, I'll never use it because I don't like to do that.
Yeah.
But it's nice to know it's there.
Just for the comfort.
It's like a sandwich coaster.
No, never thank you.
Like it's a great. Wood sandwich.
Yeah,
that's right true. There. Yeah,
just comfortable.
It's like a charcuterie plate without the charcuterie. Uh-huh. Thank you, Sheba Face, Lo Riley, and Mare the Mermaid. Remember, if you have an unapologetically juicy question for our Tower of Inquiry, you can enter it at critworld.com/tower because it is about to fall.
Yeah.
All right, folks, we're going to take a quick break. Don't go too far because when we come back, we're going to be playing Hand to Hand Wombat. So stick around.
That's it for the podcast version of this episode of Foresighted Dive. In the video version, we wrap up each episode by playing some games, which don't always translate well to an audio-only format. Honestly, it's mostly yelling, truly. So be sure to check out the rest of the episode via the VOD for the full chaos. If you've enjoyed this deep dive into the campaign, be sure to drop us a rating and a review on whatever podcast platform you're using. Your thoughts may just encourage a new critter to take the plunge. Foresighted Dive airs the first Tuesday of every month at 7 p.m. Pacific on twitch.tv/CriticalRole and youtube.com/CriticalRole, with the VOD available on YouTube the very next day. And of course, each episode releases right here on the Critical Role Podcast Network 1 week after the initial broadcast. We'll see you again next month. Bye-bye.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider, and also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now, we're often told that talking about our emotions can be dramatic, unnecessary, or unproductive. But in actuality, when you repress negative feelings, it can be extremely taxing on the brain, so much so that it impairs logical, productive decision-making. Now, listen, I am proof of this. I often am very overwhelmed when I look at my calendar and see a long, never-ending list of things to do, and I can just feel my brain wanting to shut down and telling me not to do any of it. But the minute I start to talk to someone about my stress and I can brainstorm the best order to go about my day, my task paralysis starts to disappear. So if there is something taxing on your mind that you need to try and talk out, try BetterHelp Online Therapy. BetterHelp is entirely online, making it convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. And to get started, you just fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. Plus, you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/CriticalRole today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/CriticalRole.